Oh, what a weekend it is here at Cathedral of Faith. So glad that you are here. And again, say thanks to those who are watching online, wherever you're at on campus, and those right here in the main facility. It is so great to have you with us as we kick off this new series entitled Influence, Making Waves That Change the World. And over the next few weeks, you're going to hear, well, we're going to read scriptures about influence. You're going to hear stories of influence. You're going to hear from people of influence. As we think about this big idea of influence, making waves in the best kind of way to change the world. To start this weekend, I found a couple of stills that had to do with influence. Here is one lady talking to her daughter, and she said, "A man may be the head of the house, but a woman is the neck, and she can turn the head any way she wants." That's influence. And then here's here's a quote by Mother Teresa. And the quote by Mother Teresa, it goes like this: "I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters to create many ripples." And isn't that a great statement? I was thinking about our influence, how it is like taking a rock and throwing it into the water. I love to do just about anything with my grandson. We do all kinds of things together. We shoot hoops and we go to games. And every once in a while, we find ourselves either at the pond or the creek. And anytime there's a body of water out here and there's a rock right over there, for some reason, my grandson is compelled. He picks up the rock and throws it into the water, and then I'm compelled. I pick up a rock and throw it into the water, and there's something about that rock going into the water. You see the splash, and then there's the waves that go and go and go, and that right there is your homework for the week. To find some water. After this winter, we have plenty of water. Find some water, find a rock, take a moment, throw a rock into the water. Don't throw your arm out. Don't hit anybody with the rock. But take a rock, throw it into the water, and watch what happens. There's the splash, and then there's the waves that go on and on and on. When you take that rock and you throw it into the water, those waves, they just go all the way to the edge of the lake. And that is the power of influence. The power of influence. How when a person gives their life to God, that there is a splash, and then their life begins to make the best kind of waves, and those waves go on and on and on and on. I was reading an article just this last week it was an interview with Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt is a big-time Hollywood actor. He's one of the hottest Hollywood actors out there. Have you heard of Chris Pratt? Chris Pratt, he's a hot Hollywood actor. Now, he's hot. He's just handsome hot. He really is. All the women said, "Hey, I heard that," right? "I heard that right over here." So he's just a handsome kind of hot. Kind of reminds me of myself back when I was young, that kind of thing. Everybody's got to have a dream, amen. But he was in this interview. He's not just handsome kind of hot, but he's also industry hot. Every time you turn around, he's in the newest blockbuster, or he's getting his star on the Walk of Fame. Right now, Chris is at the top of his craft. And in the interview in Vanity Fair, they were asking him all kinds of questions, and then he talked about his faith. Chris is a person of faith. And he described his unusual way, how his spiritual journey started all the way back when he was in Hawaii. Years ago, he's living in his van working at Bubba Gump's in Hawaii. And one day after work, he's standing outside of a grocery store waiting for his buddy. His buddy is inside the store buying booze, and they're getting ready to go out and party hardy. And while he's standing outside the store, a guy walks up to him. The guy's name is Henry. He introduces himself, and he asks Chris, he says, "What are you up to?" And Chris says, "Well, we're getting ready to party hardy." And the man says, "Oh, you mean like drinking and drugs?" And he said, "Yeah." And he says, "You mean like meeting women and sleeping with women?" And Chris said, "I hope so." And then Chris says to the man, "Why do you ask?" And the man says something that just sounds strange. He says, "I really think Jesus wanted me to talk to you." And Chris said, normally he would run away at that kind of comment. But there was something about this guy. He didn't run away. In fact, this is what Chris said. He said, "At that moment, I was like, I think I have to go with this guy. He took me to church. Over the next few days, I surprised my friends by declaring that I was going to change my life. And that is how he became a follower of Jesus." Can we give God praise? Hallelujah! The guardian of the galaxy now serves the creator of the galaxy. Amen. Now, here's the big question. Do you think that Henry had any idea that day when he felt this internal nudge to go up and talk to some young punk that's standing outside of a grocery store getting ready to party hardy, to go up and talk to him, that would begin a process where this young man would give his life to Christ, and that later on, that young man, God would raise him up, and now that man, Chris Pratt, is influencing the world? Any idea? Never underestimate. Amen. Let's give God praise. Never underestimate what God can do. There's the splash, and then those waves, they just keep going and going and going. Influence. Say that with me. Influence. And I want this idea to take hold of your heart. It's in my spirit. And I really hope it takes hold of your heart. That Jesus looks at people like you and me. And he says, "You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth." That if Jesus was here today and he was to look at you in the eye and he said, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. I believe in you. I have confidence in you. And every day we can partner together to change this world, to make waves in this world in the best kind of way. That's what it looks like to influence, the power of God's influence. Amen. Hallelujah. Influence. Say that with me. Influence. I want that to get in your spirit. The power of influence, what God wants to do in your life and my life. If we woke up every day to that sense, this language of influence, light of the world, salt of the earth, that Jesus himself is the ultimate example of influence. When you look at the life of Jesus, the Bible says this. It says, "Of the increase of his government, there will be no end." That the waves would just keep going and going and going. There's the splash in that little tiny town of Bethlehem and a little tiny manger. Do you think anybody in that town, if you would have asked them, "All right, who do you think is going to make the most waves in history? Is it going to be Caesar or is it going to be Jesus?" Everyone in that town would have told you it's going to be Caesar. He is the commander of the most powerful empire that has ever existed in the history of the world. Everyone in that town would have said, of course, it's going to be Caesar. And yet, Time Magazine, 2,000 years later, writes this about Jesus. The single most powerful figure in all human history has been who?
Jesus.
Has been who?
Jesus.
A serious argument can be made that no one else's life has proved remotely as powerful and enduring. His kingdom, it just keeps making waves. Hallelujah! 2,000 years. I mean, it's remarkable when you think about it, that here, the splash that took place, Jesus is born and then he never travels more than 100 miles from the place where he is born. He doesn't have power that you and I normally consider power. He doesn't have economic power. He doesn't have military power. He doesn't have political power. He doesn't even have social media power. Doesn't have a Facebook account. Doesn't have an Instagram. Doesn't even have a Twitter account. How can he survive without social media? And yet somehow Jesus, he only lives for 33 years. He walks this earth for 33 years. How about if we get interactive? How many right now are under 33 years of age? Let me see your hands. Okay. How many are over 33? Let me see your hands. How many are over 33, but you wish you were under 33? Yeah. Jesus only walks this earth for 33 years. He dies as a common criminal. And yet, the influence of his life, there's the splash and those waves. He makes waves for the next 2,000 years. There's a book that's a great little book, if you've never read it, called What If Jesus Had Never Been Born? And in it, the book, it tracks the influence of Jesus over these 2,000 years in all kinds of ways that we take for granted today. How because of Jesus, when you look at how Jesus influenced the world, how women and children are treated better because of Jesus, how sick people and poor people are treated better because of Jesus, how we have better law, and how we have better morals, and how we have better science, how we have better medicine, how we have better education because of Jesus. Those waves that he's created. There was a man who, he had a dream to start a school, a little tiny school on the East Coast. He was a pastor like me. God dropped his dream in his heart to start a school that primarily would serve to raise up pastors. That was one of the main reasons to start the school, to train pastors and raise up pastors to reach the world. And so he followed that dream, took a step of faith, and he started this tiny little school on the East Coast. His first name was John. His last name was Harvard. Has anybody heard of Harvard University? If Jesus had not been born, there would not be a Harvard University. There would not be a Princeton University. There would not be an Oxford University. There would not be a Cambridge University, because every one of those schools, trace them all the way back, and you find their roots right here in a splash that was made 2,000 years ago in Jesus. Can we give him praise? Amen. Hallelujah. Or even right here on campus, when you think of, well, our charter school would have never, if Jesus had never been born. I have some good news. Well, are you ready for good news? I have some good news about our charter school, that this week, U.S. News & World and Report, they came out with their school rankings, their national school rankings. Now, there are over 23,000 public high schools in the nation, and our charter school is ranked in the top 100. Isn't that great? Top 100 out of 23,000. There are over 2,300 public schools in California, and our charter school is ranked in the top 10 in California. Can we give God praise for that? To see what God has done, the favor God has given our charter school, how it's making waves. What, touching lives, making waves. And it all goes back, it finds its roots to a dream God drops into the hearts of a small team of people. Jesus drops a dream into their hearts about creating a place where kids from different economic and social backgrounds can, well, can come together and can work in a place that will help them to follow the dream that they have to go to college. And God takes their step of faith and blesses it and increases their influence. And now we shake our heads and we say, look what the Lord has done. One more time, can we give God praise for what he's doing in so many ways? You see, there's the splash 2,000 years ago and those ripples, they just keep, well, making waves in all kinds of ways. Let that get in your spirit as you watch this scene from the series, The Bible. Let this get in your spirit about influence.
How did this happen? What did you do?
I'm giving you the chance to change your life. Peter, come with me. Give up catching fish, and I will make you a fisher of men.
What are we gonna do?
Change the world.
Isn't that a great, great image of what Jesus wants to do? He's the ultimate example of influence. And then watch this. He empowers his followers for influence. In the book of Acts, we read between the time Jesus was resurrected and the time he ascended, he says this to his followers. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with what?
Power.
Filled with what?
Power.
And you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up to heaven as they watched him, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Track with me on this. Jesus is on his way to heaven, and he's going to send his spirit down to earth. That while Jesus is on the earth, he can only be in one place at one time. But now he's going to heaven so he can send his spirit to earth to dwell within them, to be in them and on them so that they can bring more heaven to earth wherever they go. And that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus does. Jesus comes to get us into heaven, but he does more than that. He comes to get more of heaven into us. Let me say that again. Jesus does more than get us into heaven. Jesus comes to get more of heaven into us. And that's why he sends his spirit to be with us, to be in us, and to be on us so that we will have power to see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because the only way that will happen is with spirit power. God's kingdom will not come. His will not be done with human power alone. Human power is as good as it goes, but human power alone will never see kingdom come and God's will be done. It takes spirit power. It takes heavenly power. It takes explosive power to see kingdom come, will be done, more heaven right here on earth. And that's what Jesus gives to us. Hallelujah. He sends his spirit to dwell on the inside of us. Catch this. So that same spirit that he had when he walked the earth, so he was able to see more heaven come to earth. That same spirit is now at work in us, so that we can continue that mission of seeing more heaven come to earth. And as you read through the rest of the book of Acts, that's exactly what happens. You're watching what it looks like when heaven, more of heaven, starts to invade earth for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. And then we wake up to that power. Do you know who you are? Do you know what you have? Jesus comes to give us power. When we wake up in the day, we don't have to wake up with pessimism or negativity or cynicism. We don't have to wake up feeling helpless or hopeless or powerless. Jesus sends his spirit to dwell on the inside of us to give us power so that we can go out into the world and his kingdom can come and his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, every day making waves with his power. Let's give God praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Making waves. Say that with me. Making waves. What would it look like for us to make waves? What if we prayed this kind of prayer? Jesus, increase our power. Say that with me. Jesus, increase our power. Or what if we were to pray, Jesus, increase our influence? Say that with me. Jesus, increase our influence. What would happen if we prayed that prayer? The beginning of the day. I wonder if the disciples, if it took them off guard, if they were surprised at how their circle of influence was expanded. It would start in Jerusalem, and then it would move to Judea, and then it would move to Samaria, and then it would go all the way to the ends of the earth. Or to put it another way, Jerusalem is right where they are at. Judea, it's a place that has people that are similar to them. Samaria is a place that is very different than them, with people that are very different than them. All the way to the ends of the earth, these are people that are far from them. And as you read through the rest of the book of Acts, you can see this expanding influence. The first part of Acts is in Jerusalem. The second part is Judea and Samaria. And then the third part, all the way to the ends of the earth in Rome. And I wondered if they looked back and thought, wow, increase our power, increase our influence. Look what God has done with those waves. What would it look like for you and I to pray that prayer? God, increase our power. Increase our influence. It starts with Jerusalem, right where we're at. Where are you at? God, give me power and influence where I'm at, that I could see more heaven come to this part of earth. But then, God, expand my influence. Where would God take you? What would that look like? How would God increase that? People that are similar to you, people that are different than you. I was talking a while back with a leader of a prison ministry, and he told me something in that conversation that I have never, ever forgotten. I mean, it really kind of rattled my world a bit. He was talking about being effective in apprentice ministry. And he said that when a guy like him goes into prisons, well, he's been in prison. He served time. So he knows exactly what it's like. He knows what it's like to be behind bars. He knows where these guys are at and that God uses him. I mean, he's been in that circle. God uses him to help connect with these guys and share the love of God with these guys. But then he told me something that just, he said that even people who haven't been to prison, maybe the closest you've been to jail is like this right up here. I mean, you've got the tattoo, right? But you've never been to jail. He said, when people who've never been to jail or in prison, when those kinds of people go into that circle, he says, it just rocks those guys' world. Because they can't believe somebody who's never been in that world, who's never been in that place, who's never, this is so different. And yet, they would come all the way from where they are at into that circle to meet with them and to share with them the love of Jesus, that it opens up their hearts in a big kind of way. Friend, never underestimate how God can take you from where you're at and expand your circle in ways He can do more than you could ever ask or imagine. Let's give Him praise. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve. Hallelujah. God speaking this weekend, God stirring up, boy, that sense of influence inside us. Influence, making waves, making waves. Say that with me, making waves. And so the last thing to kind of take away from today, and then we're going to have a powerful prayer time, is this. What would it look like for us to wake up with that sense of influence this week? If I was to wake up, I don't know what you look like in the morning when you wake up. Do you look like this right up here? I'm not sure. But we all know what it looks like to wake up and just kind of dread the day. It's going to be the same old, same old. That every day is the same old, same old. I'm going to get up out of the same old bed, have the same old breakfast, same old kitchen table, get in the same old car, drive to the same old job, go to the same old place for lunch, come back home after work to the same old house, have the same old dinner, sit in front of the same old TV, go to the bedroom with the same old wife, ask her the same old question, get the same old answer. That every day you wake up and there's just this sense of, oh man, same old, same old. How would that change if the first thing you woke up to in the day were the words of Jesus that said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. That this day we have a chance to partner with Jesus and sing, more heaven come to this earth. How would that alter your day? I really sense that God was speaking to people about their sense of calling. Their sense of calling. There is a leader in our city. He represents 400 high-tech companies, and he helps establish public policy. His job is to help create a better work environment right here in the Silicon Valley. That's how he brings more heaven to earth, is by making this a little better place to live. And he was talking to me a while back about his spiritual journey, and he told me that when he was young, he was undecided. One part of him wanted to be a youth pastor. Another part wanted to create public policy. And he talked to his pastor and he prayed, and he really felt a strong nudge to go into public policy. And now God has raised him up and God is using him to have influence. And here he is. He's a friend. Him and I are about the same age. And both of us are following our calling. He is bringing more heaven to earth in one way, and I'm bringing more heaven to earth in another way. But both of us are following Jesus and doing what we can to see more heaven come to earth. And what would that look like for you? God is speaking to you about your calling. God is calling you to an area of influence. They say that there are seven spheres, seven mountains of influence in our culture. There's arts and entertainment. There's the mountain of business, the mountain of family, the mountain of education, the mountain of government, the mountain of media, the mountain of religion. These are mountains of influence. They say if you want to change the world, if you want to change your culture, then you have to transform these seven areas. And here's the question, which one do you have a burden for? Which one are you passionate about? Which one do you look at and say, God, I believe this is the mountain you have called me to climb so that I can be salt and light right there on that mountain? Let me tell you about one new way that God is increasing our influence as a church family. I'm so proud of you, Cathedral of Faith. Right now, front and center, the ministry, well, front and center in our community is the challenge of homelessness. We know the challenge of homelessness. It's everywhere. And so the team here at the church, we've teamed up with the city in lots of different ways. We have a team that they go out every month and they serve the homeless in lots of different ways. We have a wonderful team that does that. And then we've partnered together with the city in trying to help veterans find housing. There were at one time 700 veterans that were homeless. But thanks be to God, and it looks like by the end of this year, all 700 of those veterans will have housing. Can we give God praise for that? Can things change? Yeah, they can. And now we take a new step. And we're going to do something we've never done before. But we're going to step into a whole new arena to house women who are at medical risk. They're homeless and at medical risk. And we're going to step up and partner with other churches to help house these women. Watch the screens and you'll catch an idea of what's going to be happening at the Cathedral of Faith.
Henry Nouwen makes a distinction between care and cure. We don't know if we can ever cure, but one can always, always care.
The first time I got here, I took a rather long shower because it had been a few weeks. We get to pick our beds.
So this is my bed. And some of the people wrote little Valentines and a card, which is nice.
There's almost been a pleasant surprise almost every night. The scarves, the slippers to match the comforter, the having the lunch bags packed, having breakfast on the table. Through this program and living in this church, I finally have had good sleep. You have no idea how much of an impact and how much love that I have felt.
Well, sometimes you have to walk the talk. Some South Bay churches are stepping up and leading by example.
Janelle, there are all sorts of ways that churches help the homeless, each one praiseworthy in its own way. But when a group of churches, instead of reaching out, invites them in, that sounds like a Bay Area proud.
Since this ministry began, I've seen three people get housing, about that many get jobs. I've seen people get access to medical care, surgeries that they normally wouldn't have, dental work. I've also seen just people responding positively to love, people who might have felt that they were so far out on the margins, but they have found out now that they are very lovable and they are the loving human beings that they've always been.
So Holy Spirit formed a coalition with three other South Bay churches to take turns sheltering the women this winter. Father Brendan would love to see even more come on board.
It would change us. It would change the valley. Silicon Valley wouldn't be the same if every house of worship chose to help.
Isn't that fantastic? The vision. And the great news is there's more than three churches. Now we have enough churches involved where women will not just be sheltered for the winter, but they'll have shelter all year long. We'll be able to take care of these ladies. And this July, for the very first time, right in the middle of summer, we are, for the month of July, going to be a village house to care for women who have this medical risk challenge and who are homeless. It's going to be happening right here on campus. And Maria is here. She's helping. She's a part of the team. Maria, would you stand? Let Maria and the team know how much you appreciate. Go ahead and stand. What a great, great vision it is. Hallelujah. Everybody stand with me, please. I want to pray. Now, if you want to find out, Dr. Wayne mentioned to it earlier, inside your bulletin, there's an insert, and I encourage you, take it with you, pray about it. Lots of ways you can volunteer this summer, little slots you can plug into, say, hey, Ken, I believe God wants me to increase my influence, and this is a way I can do it this summer. They'll have info in the back on that. But before we do that, I'm going to ask Darlington to come up and pray. Darlington is the director of our prayer ministry here at Cathedral of Faith. He does a great job. Let Darlington know how much you appreciate him. Love Darlington. So much of what we're able to do is because people are praying. And I've asked him to pray over us because I really believe God wants to impart something to us today. God wants to impart power to us and impart increased influence to us. That he'd increase our power and increase our influence. And that tomorrow when we wake up, there'll be something new about this week because of what we've received from God today. And so, Darlington, I'm going to ask you to pray. If you're comfortable doing this, you don't have to, but if you're comfortable doing it, just extend your hands up to God, reaching up to God. God, we're put ourselves in position to receive your power today. And we offer up our influence to you for you to increase our influence. Let's offer this up to God and believe for his power. Darlington, would you lead us in prayer?
In the name of Jesus, Father, Lord, God Almighty, we just come to you as your people. For your word say, where two or three are gathered, that you are in their midst. We know that you are here and you are welcome in this place. Because you are Jehovah Jireh, you are Jehovah Nissi, you are Jehovah Rapha, you are Jehovah Shalom, you are Jehovah El Shaddai, you are Jehovah Mekodishkem. Father, your banner over us is love. Father, King of Glory, your word says that all have sinned and fallen short of your glory. And there is not a just man upon the surface of the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That if we say we have no sin, we have made you a liar. Father, Lord, let all of us be liars, but you alone be true. So, Father, King of Glory, we know that sin brings a lot of limited abilities to our lives. So, for us to be people of influence, we come before you today and say, if there's any way we have grieved your spirit, in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds, in our actions, things that we have done, things that we have failed to do, we ask as a people today that you forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and cause the power of God and your anointing to fall upon us today. Yes. Father, King of Glory, Lord God Almighty, we decree right now that doors of prosperities and favors that have been closed unto us be opened now in the name of Jesus. Yes. Father, King of Glory, any doors of destruction, doors of failures, Father, King of Glory, doors of depression, we ask that you shut them against your people today. Father, Lord God Almighty, with all these every hands that are raised right now, we ask that you send forth your ministry angels to touch every hand. Touch that man right now. Touch that woman right now. Touch that boy right now. Touch that girl right now with your power of your anointing. Because we know that with you, we can do all things through your Son, Jesus Christ, who strengthens us.
Father, King of glory, we bless you today. Father, we ask that you equip your people and position them, Lord King of glory, in these areas of influence that Pastor Ken has preached about today. Whether it be in the arts, whether it be in the media, whether it be in education, family, religion. Father, King of glory, empower your people. Give them, O King of glory, the keys to your cities, the keys to your states, the keys to the United States of America. We decree and declare today that everywhere the sole of their feet shall tread, you shall give them for an inheritance with power and with favor to lead your people onto your path of righteousness for your name's sake. Father, Lord God Almighty, I release the blessings and favors of Joseph unto everybody here present today. That even Joseph in his pit experience, you were able to transform him from prison to the throne and the office that you have designated for him. That same anointing will release upon your people today. Thank you, Father, Lord God Almighty, King of glory. We ask that your peace that passeth all human understanding will rest and will abide with your people right now and forevermore. And the children of God say a big amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.